here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm just fantastic, as always.
Good.
Today is Friday, August 12th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories. So once again, we'll have several earnings reports on deck for you this week, including one with alongside a major announcement from one of the world's largest media conglomerates, and we'll get to all that later. Before we get to that, I want to talk about a retail giant this week with another move to establish itself online.
Yes, and that retail giant is none other than Walmart. So earlier in the week, they announced that they are acquiring Jet.com. And I don't know if you've ever been on the website.
I'm going to say something kind of that I'm embarrassed about. I had never even heard of it until I walked in and everyone was like, Walmart bought Jet.com. I was like, cool. I thought it was about planes first.
Yeah, I mean,
thought it was like an airline booking website. I was not right about that.
And it's not surprising that you haven't heard of it. They've only been a working website for about a year now.
Okay.
But it's a budding Amazon rival, and it's worth, I think, somewhere around $1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Walmart bought them, and it's definitely a step to cement themselves as a true Amazon competitor.
Sure.
After their failed,
sure,
in my opinion, failed shipping pass venture.
Okay. TBD on whether it's actually failed, but we didn't like the idea is what
I we strongly didn't
on,
like
we weren't
the
sold
idea.
On the
yes.
Idea.
Okay. But so Jet is, it's kind of, it really has a cool concept because it reuses these pricing strategies and incentives.
Mm-hmm.
Where, let's see, they're encouraged. So customers, when you go on the site, they're encouraged to choose additional products using these kind of strategies. So for example, if you use a debit card, you get a discount instead of a credit. So instead of using a credit card,
okay,
use a debit card, you get some sort of discount.
Sure.
You get lower prices if you choose not to return any of the items. So, and it's like the more you put in your cart, the more discounts you have available to you.
Okay.
So different from Amazon.
So it's almost, to me, that reminds me of a little bit of like the Aldi of e-commerce in that
stripping away
these like traditional features of shopping that cost money to make the experience more affordable.
Right.
It's like Aldi, you go in, they don't give you bags, and there's not...
So the DIY grocery experience.
Yeah, the European Aldi version, you have to like rent the carts for
25 cents
or whatever. That reminded me of that when you said choose not to return them. Stripping away some of those.
And they used to have a monthly fee, an annual fee, $50, but they scrapped that kind of right away in order to build a strong customer base.
Okay.
But now it'll be interesting to see if they ever bring that back or something to that equivalent, as they are now under Walmart's caring wing.
Sure.
And will most likely
wing,
flourish.
Jet.com.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Pun intended.
Okay. That was for, they took over the company for $3 billion in cash and then $300 million worth of Walmart shares. So it's about a $3.3 billion deal. So big, big time money.
Yeah, huge. It marks Walmart's largest acquisition.
Ever?
Ever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That surprises me a little bit. But cool. Other than that, the only thing I saw of note from there is that the current Jet.com CEO is staying in the same role at that company.
Right.
And then also joining as some sort of leadership position for Walmart's e-commerce segment.
And I forgot to point out the two brands, the two websites will continue to operate as separate entities.
Sure.
But still, they'll still be owned.
So
together.
Do we think that, you know, is there technology that Walmart will bring in that Jet is using that Walmart will incorporate on their website? Or will they maybe adopt some of that same pricing strategy?
I think
strategy?
So, yeah.
Cool. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, it doesn't take much to see that. And this is another attempt for Walmart to kind of go head-to-head with Amazon. That rivalry is just even getting more and more intense, those two
bitter,
big retail
players. Turning a little bitter.
I would venture to say that they don't like each other much. I don't know. So, yeah.
Moving on.
Shifting gears, I want to talk now about...
Other pun intended?
Yeah, I was actually going to...
Go into it, sorry.
I was going to explain the whole thing. Shifting gears, I want to talk about a company that couldn't get its own gear shifting this week because all of their flights got canceled. And that is Delta Airlines. Yeah, so I probably have heard about it by now, slash maybe you were trying to fly Delta this week and are stuck still. But it started on Monday. So Delta experienced some sort of power outage somewhere that affected their company computer systems. And this was a worldwide thing. A lot of time we see these outages and it's like all of their Northeastern flights have been canceled. This was affected operations around the whole world.
Oh, no.
Which is not what you want. So there was 1,000 cancellations on Monday, 775 on Tuesday, and 255 flights were canceled on Wednesday as well. So multiple days this was affecting, you know, and besides the cancellation, just endless delays. I mean, just a real headache, not only for Delta, but for everyone that was flying Delta this week. If you took a Delta flight at all this week, I'm sure it was somehow affected, whether it be delayed or canceled by this. It was massive.
And I'm not sure, is this Delta's like first incident? Like, it really can't be. As an airline, I feel like you're prone to these types of
things. These things do happen.
Usual,
yeah, these things do happen.
Huge.
Southwest, you'll remember, went through this similar thing about 3 weeks ago. They had a router failure and had to cancel about 2,000 flights. Another 7,000 got delayed. So it's definitely something we hear about in the airline industry. And it isn't necessarily the world's most surprising thing. And it doesn't necessarily have an effect on share prices. Delta lost about 4% over the first 3 days of the week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Bounced back a little bit Thursday. It could just be a quick market reaction to the kind of headaches that these things can cause. But just more so than anything, I think, is just another negative PR and just another kind of, I don't know what the right word for it is, another struggle in what is now becoming an industry full of struggles. So I mentioned Southwest had the same, a similar thing with outages recently. I mean, just overall, the airline industry is struggling, currently sits in the bottom 8% of the Zacks industry rank, which is pretty at the bottom. That's pretty much there down the list. So, yeah, I know, definitely not something good, no good news out of Delta this week.
None.
And so, yeah, that's the airline industry is one struggling industry. And with that, I kind of want to kind of switch it to a focus on another industry that has been struggling, but thanks to some solid earnings reports this week, maybe on the rebound soon.
Yeah. So one of the biggest department stores in the country, Macy's, reported their second quarter results Thursday morning and was able to post a beat on both earnings and revenue estimates, which I was surprised and happy. Like, that good move for them. Adjusted earnings came in at 54 cents per share, which was much higher than our consensus estimate of 40 cents per share. Revenue figures came in at higher than expected too, $5.87 billion compared to the Zacks consensus estimate of $5.75 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And one quick note on Macy's, I was reading a Business Insider article and they had their reporter go into a Macy's to see what the store looked like and how the store looked is that, and that's why Macy's has not been doing very well.
That was the angle of the report.
Yeah. So they took pictures. They're like, look at all these sales rack, look at all these markdowns. And they had a caption on this picture that said, quote, maybe a consumer was considering buying a nice garment, but the fact that it all feels like a TJ Maxx is a huge turnoff, end quote. like wow, felt the burn through my computer screen.
Seemingly unnecessary shot at TJ Maxx as well. I don't know
which
why
is
we
like
need to bring
they
them into it, but.
Right. So, TJ Maxx really capitalizes on the sale, but Macy's never has, but has turned into it and has totally.
That's true. TJ Maxx is one giant sale at all times.
Yes.
So, so that that's was not pretty... the comparison Macy's wants to draw.
Definitely not. Definitely. I mean, I found it hilarious, but.
Sure, sure. Maybe even a little harsh. And I don't know how much we can read into anecdotal evidence like that, because you're obviously going to have different experiences at different Macy's stores, but definitely
but
interesting.
And this Macy's
know.
Was in New York City. I'm not sure how many Macy's stores New York City has.
Yeah,
but
I was about to say,
like,
I hope it was like an out-of-market one where it was like in the suburbs of...
No, unfortunately not. It did not look pretty.
Suburbs somewhere in the middle of Indiana? No, it's the New York City one. Yeah. Okay. Not good.
So another company, a retail company that reported was Kohl's, which is a smaller sized department store.
I'd say lower budget too.
Yes, lower budget. Also capitalizes on sales and markdowns. So they reported earnings per share of $1.22, and that came in higher than our consensus estimate of $1.04 per share, beating them by 17.3%, which was pretty big. And Kohl's reported revenue of $4.18 billion, so that came in just above the Zacks consensus estimate of $4.16 billion. So these two, plus Fossil a few days ago, I don't know if they're going to be determining signs for the rest of retail companies reporting this season, but if they are, it's a pretty good sign, because usually historically, at least for the past 3 years, retail has not done very well.
Yeah, and so we've still got a few more kind of the stores that will paint the picture of the state of retail right now coming up. I think Walmart has yet to report.
Target. And Gap, American Eagle, Ulta, those big ones.
Yeah. And so these two department stores don't necessarily give us the entire picture of the retail industry, but their performance was certainly impressive and a good sign if there are customers in these stores shopping, that should mean there are customers across the board, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
And then that would definitely give us a good indicator of the health of the economy right now, which has kind of been in limbo right now. This kind of lingering question is, do they have enough money to go out and spend at places? And one of the places we saw struggling with that this earnings season was in restaurants. So, which brings us to another earnings report this week, which was Shake Shack.
Mm-hmm. Better burgers.
Everyone's favorite fast casual burger chain that they've never actually eaten at, because there's not that many restaurants.
There really aren't that many.
But Shake Shack reported this week. They beat earnings estimates by a penny, posted 14 cents a share, just edged out our estimate. Revenue came in at $66.472 million. Which was a little bit above our estimate of $63 million. But the stock fell. I think they were a morning report, and the stock fell something like 5% after the release. Investors seemingly unimpressed with same-store sales numbers. So same-store sales grew 4.5%. I think they call them same-shack sales.
They do.
In the earnings reports. Same Shack sales grew 44.5%. Last year in this quarter, Same Shack sales grew 12.9%. So same store sales relaxing, slowing down this year, which isn't necessarily a great sign for a company that doesn't have that many restaurants and is expanding so much, because you're seeing a lot of that new revenue coming just from the new stores. And we like to look at the existing stores to talk about, are they getting customers to keep coming in over a long period of time? So Shake Shack comes to town, you know, finally your neck of the woods has a Shake Shack. It's going to get a lot of people initially. Can you maintain that momentum?
Right. Because it's not cheap eating. Their burgers are...
It's expensive, yeah.
It's very expensive.
You're in and out of there for, you know, 10, 12, maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
Which means at that point, should I just have McDonald's? If
Fair
I want
question.
A greasy burger that's obviously not that good for me. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, it's always interesting to see why, you know, you get two beats and the stock goes down, looking a little bit further down the report, why mm-hmm. that is. And I think it was same Shack sales, just not where a lot of people wanted them to be this quarter. Moving on, though, the biggest earnings report this week, just can't not talk about this. Got to be Disney. So they had much more than just earnings this week. You know, a major announcement. We'll get to that in a second. What did their earnings results look like, though?
They looked pretty good. So Disney reported Q3 earnings per share of $1.62. That's mm-hmm. beating our estimate by a penny. And then its earnings also increased 11.7 year over year, which is
important.
Very important. Yeah. It's a good sign. Revenues improved 9% year over year to $14.277 billion, which also beat our consensus estimate of $14.167 billion. And then Disney, as one of the biggest media conglomerates sure. in the world, has a ton of sub-business divisions.
Yeah.
So, which all grew, more or less. So Media Networks grew 2.2% to $5.906 billion. Their studio entertainment revenue grew 40% to $2.847 billion.
That was the big one, yeah.
Which, I don't know if Marvel has anything to do with that.
I'd say probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then their parks and resorts revenue grew 6% to $4.379 billion.
Yeah. You'll notice there, obviously, that the Media Networks one is significantly bigger than the other categories.
You mean the inner studio one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or... Yeah, as far as growth for studio entertainment,
right.
overall share of the company's revenue,
right.
Media networks being the
bigger,
biggest category,
yes.
And that for that reason, that's been the one that we've looked to the past few reports because there's been some struggle there, and even with this report, you're seeing that's growing 2%. That was backed by a 1% growth in the cable networks kind of subdivision of the media networks umbrella. And, you know, it was refreshing to see that growth, but even in comparison to the growth they're able to do in other areas of the company, still you can see media networks, we could use some work there. Even though, you know, the big thing there has been ESPN for so long.
Mm-hmm. Kind
and
of draining them.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But if you read Disney's report this week, ESPN didn't go into too many specifics other than to say that the 1% growth in cable networks was boosted by growth in ESPN. So not a ton of specific numbers there, but
it's a little vague,
ESPN
yeah.
growing as compared to something, you know, it hasn't been growing. It's been doing the opposite of that the last couple of reports. So refreshing to see that. And I think investors reacted relatively positively to the report. Then that leads us to what I said earlier, which is kind of this next major announcement move that Disney had this week.
So I'm going to confess something. I'm not a huge sports fan.
Sure.
But even I know this announcement is mm-hmm. pretty big news. So mm-hmm. Disney announced that it had bought a minority stake in BAMTech, mm-hmm. which is a video streaming company originally created by Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Disney.
So just to explain that actually real quick,
okay.
I think the case was that Major League Baseball created this kind of offshoot to do its own streaming online.
Oh, okay.
And then I think they kind of just spun it off into its own company, and they still have the rights to Major League Baseball. And I believe it they're still in charge of doing like MLB TV online and stuff like that.
Oh, I gotcha.
Or at least delivering that content. Yeah, but interesting because you don't hear a lot about sports leagues creating their own companies.
No, they usually leave
yeah.
that to the bigger
yeah.
the bigger players.
They work with companies.
Yeah.
So that was for people who are unfamiliar with what BAMTech is, that explains a little bit better.
Yeah. So I guess Disney is going to use this BAMTech video streaming capability to create an ESPN branded over the top video streaming service that will cover a variety of sports.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could hear everyone that's listening going, finally. But I think I could, because this has been... people have been talking about that exact thing happening for a long time now. And the kind of... I guess the wall so far has been sports broadcasting is, you know, we talk a lot when we talk about Netflix and when we talk about Hulu and Amazon Instant Video and stuff like that. The one thing we always talk about is how ridiculously expensive it, HBO is another one, how expensive it is for these companies to license third-party shows and stuff and movies and, you know, negotiate these deals with other publishing companies and be able to host this content. That is just tenfold this live sports. It's really the competition for getting these licenses is very hot, and it's very expensive.
Yeah,
too.
And let me just butt in. And it seems like the only company that was, maybe not. So the only company publicly trying to do this, it seems to be Twitter, mm-hmm. of all things.
Certainly, yeah, and definitely non-traditional.
Yeah.
Outlet. Yeah, because they just negotiated with the National Football League to host a few of the Thursday night football right. games this year.
Did they also
Twitter
have a thing with MLB
for
too?
Free? Yeah, and you're also seeing Twitter interact with sports leagues now more so than broadcasting games and highlights, but like creating weird little like you're interacting with the game on Twitter more,
oh,
and they're
gotcha.
Partnering
okay.
with. You know, you're getting exclusive highlights and you're getting live updates and stuff on Twitter, almost like you could be watching it on TV and then also with your device on Twitter following along. But yeah, they're going to be, you can go on Twitter this year and watch Thursday Night Football for some of the games this year for free. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Now, are you surprised that Disney was the company to make this acquisition and to kind of be the power behind this type of streaming service? Like, did you expect something like a company, I don't know,
maybe
anyone
some,
else?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I think the only other kind of thought I would have about it is somebody who's just not yet in the sports world trying to do this and get into sports like this way. But no, I'm not surprised at all. To me, it was an inevitability that they would offer an ESPN option in this kind of over-the-top format where you
right.
can... You do not have to be a cable, because they've had Watch ESPN for a while now. It's formerly ESPN3.com. It's now like watch.espn.com, where if you have a cable package with ESPN on it, you can just sign into your account online and you can stream whatever is on ESPN and also a bunch of additional coverage. What people have been talking about is doing that, but skip the whole sign into my cable account. I can just pay 10, 15, 20 bucks a month to have the account with ESPN. The issue with that is that it's really expensive to do that, to like host the content like that. And the deals that they already have with cable companies and, you know, it brings up this conversation of the next age of cable being pay for what you watch,
right.
that type of situation. Finally, this is happening, and I would like to also point out that it's ESPN branded, so it isn't just this, I tune in to this streaming service, and they have ESPN, ESPN2, and then whatever is on watchespn.com. It's ESPN branded, as in it's going to use all, you know, same anchors and announcers, people who are under contract with ESPN,
okay.
but it's not just going to replicate and mirror whatever's on ESPN's
It's going to be
channels.
Different. It's going to be new.
Yeah,
content.
So not necessarily new in a way, but, you know, so with
I guess
BAM,
a new take on it.
Yeah, with BAM Tech, they have the rights to Major League Baseball or, you know, some Major League Baseball games. And BAM Tech also has deals with the National Hockey League. So right off the bat, you can assume there's going to be MLB and NHL coverage on this new ESPN service. And then ESPN also is pretty dominant in having rights to stream college sports, specifically college football. They have really in-depth coverage on and college basketball. So just completely spitballing, I would assume that's the type of sports you can expect
okay.
the most out of. But yeah, I mean, a surprise? No, not really. Like I said, inevitability. interesting that they're going about it in a way of like purchasing this minority stake. I believe it was a 33% stake in BAMTech, and then kind of using that as a tool, the first step in the, you know, the process. And I don't know how long it's going to take before this is available. But yeah, I mean, we talked about last week we talked about the new trend in the cable industry of just kind of going more towards wanting to own more of your own content and also having that video streaming presence. And this is just another company doing that. We talked about Time Warner getting a minority stake in Hulu. This to me is very similar. It's not that different than the other media companies making plays on video streaming. Just such a big chunk of Disney's media content that they own is ESPN. So that's the route they're going to take it. And that's where, you know,
the route they need to take it to like boost ESPN and.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And also, something we haven't even touched on yet is that this is really the first of its kind. You know, like I said, ESPN with Watch ESPN, NBC Sports has something called NBC Sports Extra, but again, that requires you to have cable account with NBC Sports already. I mean, there's not really a over-the-top way of going to get live sports coverage. And for cord cutters, the apprehension, I guess, for someone who really wants to cut the cord and move to just having Netflix is if you're a sports fan, it's really hard to maintain that and watch a lot of live sports unless, you know, then you're kind of getting into the world of like underground streaming and you're getting weird spotty streams from China and other stuff like that. And you know, it's illegal content. So this is really one of the first options you have for high quality picture, legal, good, solid coverage, and you can cut the cord and still get it. So it's a really big moment for the sports media world for sure.
I agree.
And I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know the timeline on it. I don't think they've released.
But you'll be subscribing.
Probably. And I think that you could even get people subscribing to it if like you mentioned, if it's more than just what is already on ESPN, like if you're getting more content, you know, you might get people subscribing to it that already get ESPN on their cable accounts. So there's a whole lot going on here and a whole lot to digest about it, but definitely something that has been a long time coming for the video streaming industry. And you know, I guess I don't even think it's bad news for the people that you think would be competitors in the video streaming world, like Netflix and Hulu, because they've, you know, it's not like they've made any moves to get into live sports coverage or any really live TV at all. So could be welcomed in the greater industry that promoting cord cutting even more. So.
Yeah, I agree. Live streaming's a huge kind of uncharted territory for these video streaming
especially companies. For sports specifically.
Yeah.
There's so much there. And Disney will come out and grab the majority of the market share there already. So definitely really important. I covered it this week in a piece that kind of insinuated that it could change the television landscape forever, for good, permanently. We'll see if it ends up making that big of a dent. But yeah, definitely a lot to digest this week. As always, you can find all of our coverage for these stories in the article and on the site. And if you enjoyed, please you know, subscribe to the podcast and keep coming back this week or next week. It was a pleasure this week. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you.
And we will see you next Friday.